The reading today is from Romans chapter 8, verses 33 to 39. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth and its power. We pray that we might hear your voice now within the scriptures, for Jesus' sake. Amen. How secure are we in Christ? Have you ever had this experience? You neglect your quiet time for a month. You go to a party and get drunk. You have a row with your family. You totally indulge that sin that you always battle. And you say to yourself, I'm too bad now. I've gone too far. God would never want me now. The people of Christ Church would never want me now. I can't go to church. I can't have a quiet time. I'm just too bad. What does God say to the Christian in those circumstances? Verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? But I've messed up. I'm a disaster. God could never love me now. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. To be justified means to be declared innocent. God declares you innocent if you are in Christ, in relationship with Christ, if you are a Christian. Your status as a Christian, your security in Christ, doesn't change no matter what you do wrong. That's been the great theme of this chapter, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. But I've done this wrong. There is no condemnation. Not because God has gone soft on sin. He hasn't. God takes sin so seriously, Jesus himself goes to the cross and takes the righteous anger of God on himself so that we can be forgiven and set free from condemnation. Christian assurance. That's the great theme of this chapter. We are assured that we are right with God and going to heaven. And now today, Christian assurance is stronger than sin. It's That's my first heading. Christian assurance is stronger than suffering. In other words, you might say, my sin cuts me off from God. It doesn't. Christian assurance is stronger than sin. You might say that my suffering cuts me off from God. This is especially a scripture for the persecuted church, as we've been hearing. Suffering doesn't cut us off from God. Christian assurance is stronger than suffering. Firstly, then, these headings are on your sheets. Christian assurance is stronger than sin. Verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. I had the privilege of preaching in an Albanian prison last summer. Sounds rather terrifying, and I was nervous, but the men were absolutely lovely and very interested in the gospel. I found myself having photographs taken with murderers and thugs who were, of course, being changed by the grace of God. I was very aware that nothing else could help them except the gospel. They were serious criminals. I was able to offer them Christ. It was thrilling. I had the answer for them. And I was teaching them this word, justified, which means declared innocent. And I said to them, would you like to be declared innocent? And they all shouted back, yes! It was an amazing moment. They were in prison. That wasn't going to change. But God would justify them if they trusted in Christ. No one can bring any charge against the Christian. Remember verse 31? If God is for us, who can be against us? No one can be against us. Not even Satan. Because, verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So God doesn't sweep sin under the carpet. He gave up his son for us all. Jesus died. That's how serious our sin is. Jesus absorbed God's wrath, which should have been ours. He took hell on the cross, the righteous judgment of God. And that means no condemnation for us if we're in Christ. Just take that in. There is no condemnation for us. Rather, God will give us all things. He will give us the new creation, a perfect life, serving him forever. And therefore, God is saying, you can't touch my child. No charge against my child will stick. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Often, we blame ourselves, of course. We listen to the voice of condemnation instead of listening to the assurance of God's word. When we sin, which we all do, very frequently, All we have to do is repent. We come back to God. We thank Jesus that he has died for us. We thank Jesus that the wrath of God is satisfied through his death. We come back to God like that every day. We recommit ourselves to living with Jesus as King. And we luxuriate in the truth that no one can lay a charge against us. God justifies us. Perhaps I should say, if you break the law, you've still got to pay for that. If you sin against people, there will be consequences. Your marriage might not mend if you commit adultery. This is not license to sin. But it is wonderful assurance that even if we go to prison, God justifies us. We are right with him. We are going to heaven. You'll probably remember Jonathan Aitken. He was a cabinet minister. He came to speak to our college when Becca and I were students. We spent a very enjoyable evening drinking port with him before he was disgraced. And then he lied on oath in court. He committed perjury. He went to prison. But between breaking the law and going to prison, Jonathan Aitken became a Christian. He still had to go to prison, but he went to prison knowing he was right with God, knowing that God justified him. And so verse 34, who then is the one who condemns? Who? No one. This is like verse 1. There is no condemnation for us. There is no one who can condemn me. And look what Christ is doing. Christ who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Wow! Every time Satan lays a charge against us, Jesus turns to the Father and he says, there is no charge to answer. I died for him. I died for her. Christian assurance is stronger than sin. Secondly, Christian assurance is stronger than suffering. Perhaps we don't, by and large, have the problem that our sin condemns us. Perhaps we're very clear. Jesus has died for me. I'm forgiven. Perhaps, however, suffering causes you to question. Does God really love me? Why has this happened? One could well imagine the persecuted church asking this question. Perhaps the death of a loved one makes you feel very far from God. Perhaps it's a diagnosis. Perhaps it's unemployment. Let God speak to you, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Clearly, these things could happen to us. That's Paul's point here. These things could happen. But they don't separate us from the love of God. The prosperity gospel is very attractive. Those who teach that God's will is for you to be healthy and wealthy. It's attractive, but it's wrong. Becca and I had dinner once with an African friend in Becca's parents' house. He told us how he'd spent much of his life hungry. He didn't suffer because he was a weak Christian or because he'd failed to find God's purpose for his life. He suffered because we live in a fallen world. He'd faced famine, as in verse 35. And Paul wants to say, whatever you're going through, God still assures you of his love. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He hasn't abandoned you. Whatever it is, trouble, hardship, persecution, hunger, nakedness, danger, execution with the sword. Yes, verse 36. For your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Paul quotes Psalm 44:22 because it fits his experience. He faces death. Joel Osteen wrote a book called Your Best Life Now. It's very attractive prosperity teaching. Paul would say, yes, the Christian life is your best life now. But you might be executed for your faith. You don't hear that, funnily enough. Saying that doesn't help you fill your megachurch. The persecuted church knows this truth. We are going to suffer if we live for Christ. But it is your best life, because verse 37, now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The Christian is assured God does love you in all these things, not escaping all these things, in all these things. He's in control. He's got a purpose for you in your suffering. His purpose is to make us more like Jesus. And when you suffer, you will conquer it. In other words, you will stay faithful to Jesus through it, and you'll prove God's faithfulness. I've seen this many times over. One of the privileges of my job is I get to sit with the sick, the sorrowing, and the dying. My own faith is so strengthened when I see dear saints holding on to Christ and trusting Christ, even if the very worst happens. Think of John Farrar. He was a member here. He had motor neuron disease. He was more than a conqueror. He stayed close to Christ. He kept trusting Christ. And now he has a perfect body in heaven. We will conquer. And even if we think we're letting go of Jesus, even if we think we're losing our grip on him, he never lets go of us. John 10:28. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. We are so secure in Christ that the Apostle Paul can say, verse 38, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's a pretty comprehensive list, don't you think? Death, life, angels, demons, present, future, any power, height and depth, or anything else in all creation, in case your problem hasn't been mentioned. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to get hold of this. We are secure in Christ. We are secure in Christ forever. Christian assurance is stronger than sin. Why are you listening to the accusations of the evil one? God loves you and accepts you in Christ. You only have to trust in Christ. Repent of sin. Commit yourself to living with Jesus as Lord. There is no condemnation for the person who is in Christ. And Christian assurance is stronger than suffering. Will you dare to believe that he still loves you? Even after everything that's happened to you. God wants you to be secure in his love. And today we pray for the persecuted church. They really do know trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and sword. Thank you for your support and your prayers for them.